Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you.
And welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And frankly, there's so much about real estate that this podcast could go on forever, and we would only ever scratch the surface, because in addition to the mechanics of real estate that y'all see on HGTV, where the agent unlocks the door and they look at the house, there's all the ancillary pieces of the business that add up to make this crazy on many different fronts. And today I'm going to bring you a whole different angle. We are going to welcome Rod Meyer to the show. Rod, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, good morning or good afternoon where you are.
That's right, or wherever our listeners are. They could be on other continents even, so we just never know. But tell our people where you're located and how long you've been doing real estate stuff and any of those tidbits that would help them know you.
We're in Grand Forks, North Dakota, and my wife and I have our own brokerage. We've got a small office. Our town is 40,000 population. I've been in real estate for about 10 years. And it seems like I'm a magnet to strange real estate dealings for some reason. We get some real doozies going on. We've got four kids, and all four of them are involved in real estate at one way or another. Our son is a mortgage lender, and our three daughters, two of them sell real estate in Minneapolis-St. Paul, and one works with us in our office in Grand Forks.
Well, that's pretty interesting. How did that happen? Was that just the aligning of the stars, or did y'all encourage that when they were young?
My wife thinks that everybody should sell real estate. In fact, in Grand Forks, when you get picked up for speeding, they don't ask you for your driver's license. They ask if you have a real estate license, because I think everybody in Grand Forks has one. The two in the cities, one is kind of stagnant, but the other one is really rolling. I mean, she's really doing some business on her own. And our daughter with us in Grand Forks is working real well, too. She's techy. And does a lot of help with the office and the other agents in our office.
In the grand scheme of things, you wouldn't just have your own stories to tell, because when y'all have a family dinner, is this all y'all talk about is real estate related stuff?
Yeah, well, it seems to be. And our agents, all of us in our office seem to run into some of the quirkiest things. It's just unbelievable. A couple of them is my wife just had the okay to show a property. This is about 3 months ago, and she walks in and hears the guy sitting on the couch in his tidy whities smoking a doobie and said, "Come on in, it's open." And that's just one. I've had one where an attorney friend of ours, this is the one that really just make you want to throw up. Anyway, he has called me on a Friday afternoon in February 3 years ago. It's 20 below zero. We've got 3 feet of snow. But it's a beautiful, sunshiny day at 20 below zero. And he said, "Would you be interested in looking at this property? A real attorney friend of mine in the city's just called and asked if we'd go out and check this property out. It's his dad's property, and he wants to sell it. His dad had passed away." I said, "Yeah, sure. Well, let's go out there." So we go out there. Like I say, it's 20 below now in February. 3 feet of snow. The attorney I was working with had the key to the house. We opened the front door, took one step in and went, and we backed out because we couldn't breathe. And anyway, we sort of took a deep breath of fresh air, looked inside down the basement stairwell. There's 4 feet of water in the basement. The neighbor, who was supposed to be in charge of the propane tank to keep the heat on all winter, forgot to check it. The heat went out. The pipes broke. And there's 4 feet of water. We had to find the rural water guy to come shut the water off. And there's beds floating. There's clothes floating. It's disgusting. This isn't the worst part. My son and I go out, who's now the mortgage lender, we go out and we pump the water out, because that's what we do. We're farm kids. You do it, you know. So we pump the water out. We find out later, after talking to the son in the cities, that he said there was 60 cats in the property.
Oh no.
And his dad had fallen, and the last time he was there, he was sleeping on the floor because he'd hurt his back. He was 84 years old, and the front door was open and the cats were running in and out. I mean, and he said, "I know there were 60 cats because I helped catch them all." They had the Humane Society. Well, so now, you know, when we stepped in and we took a breath and go, oh, the smell was just unbelievable. The son says the cats are in the ductwork. They're crawling through the ductwork. It was an A-frame home to the upstairs bedroom. They'd scratched on the poles in there. So there was wood poles, support poles. They'd scratched those because they were in about 2 inches all the way around from scratching. He said there was just, it was disgusting. Anyway, we pumped the water. We get the basement cleaned out. There's, I won't even go out what we cleaned up down there. We listed the property. I'm serious. And we listed it for $100,000. And now this is Grand Forks, North Dakota in February. 15-acre property, nice old buildings, on a creek, by the way, a river. And so we listed the property. We had another realtor. They asked another realtor to come out and do a CMA on it. He comes out and says it's worth $120,000. So I called him up and I said, are you smoking something or what's going on here? You can't be serious. Oh, it's beautiful property. 15 acres on the river. He said, you can't live in the house. He said, yeah, but the acreage itself is worth that. I said, no, it's not. Anyway, so we listed it. We sold it. A guy bought it, didn't tear it down.
No.
And I don't know. I was never in there after I sold it. Trust me, I didn't need to go in there. Gets out there, he gets it, must have gotten it livable until his wife divorced him because of the smell. And then after she divorced him, after they moved out there, then he tore it down and put a new house up. So I don't know if that was an excuse to get rid of his wife or what, but it was disgusting. Absolutely disgusting.
That's one way to get rid of your wife, I guess. But as a Southerner, Rod, I have a question I have to ask. How does a house have standing water in it when it's 20 below? Why didn't it freeze?
It was in the basement. And there was still heat in there, see? Up to that point, it had just frozen up not too long ago, but the water, you could hear the water running when we walked in. And the rural water guy came out, and he knew where the curb stop was to shut it off, because it took us 2 days to pump all the water out of there.
I think any experienced realtor knows that's one of those sounds that you never forget it, and it makes your stomach just turn, because you know there's no good outcome to come from that.
Oh, Lee, and my son and I, they had rubber back glued down carpet in the basement. We had to cut it in strips and pull it out in four-inch strips to get that out. There was a cedar hot tub in the basement that was dry on the inside because the water was on the outside of the cedar hot tub, but we had to tear that all out. It was disgusting. We moved cabinets away from the wall in the basement. The cat hair, I don't even know how to describe it. The wall was covered behind the cabinets with cat hair. There was a bed floating. There's clothes floating. Back in the corner was a little bar area and a countertop with an apartment-sized fridge underneath the countertop. Well, we tore the fridge out, threw the countertop out. When we moved the fridge, though, after we'd pumped the water out, no, we looked behind the fridge. I don't know if you all know what a pig barn smells like, but behind that fridge is where the cats had been doing their job. And it was about 2 feet thick, and thank goodness it was wet. Because we had a guy come out from air control, and he said he wouldn't go in there without a mask on. He said, whatever you do and something like that, you do not put Hylex on it because it makes a dangerous gas. He said, you use vinegar. So he dumped vinegar on, but that didn't help. So we had to scoop that out. But like I said, the guy bought it.
There's a couple of lessons here that the public would be intrigued by, and that's that in real estate, there is a buyer for everything. And
exactly.
As a professional realtor, there's times when you want to tell that buyer, don't do it. What are you thinking? And you can only give your best advice because people will move forward for the strangest reasons. The second thing they need to know is that there is nothing elegant about this job on some days. And I think that that's one of the challenges we've had because of television programs like HGTV, where it looks so easy and they would never have this kind of an encounter, or they certainly wouldn't show it on TV. But the longer you're in real estate, we run into this stuff. And all you can do is call the professionals to deal with the cat hoarding, and you deal with the water, and you deal with the neighbor, and you deal with all the issues, because we have a list of people a mile long, because honestly, you're always going to need a different kind of professional, and this house needed like 12 of them.
Just recently, we're closing on a house here this next week on a property. The appraiser came out. It's a FHA loan. And the appraiser come out and said, well, there's peeling paint here, 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 and here. And it's a lady, this winter, her husband went out to shovel snow. We had a lot of snow, a lot of tough winter this winter up here. And he went out to shovel snow, and she never thought anything about it. And so she waited, and he never came in. She looked out. He's face down in the snow. He died of a heart attack.
Oh, no.
Shoveling snow. And he was already stiff when, I mean, he was room temperature outside when she found him. So anyway, the appraiser comes out to this property. We're going to sell it now on Tuesday and says there's peeling paint. So she doesn't have the wherewithal to know how to or what to do. And we've been through enough of these FHA, VA housing finance loans that we know, you know, scrape paint. You can paint it purple and pink or black or blue or whatever.
Right.
So I painted a chicken coop. And scraped and painted a garage that doesn't even go with the property. But the appraiser said, well, it's got to be scraped and painted because they might use it.
Wait, what? The appraiser wanted the chicken coop scraped and painted?
Yeah, he told me it was part of their property. See, and it had peeling paint, but it's got the electricity to it. But he said, oh, yeah, that's going to have to be scraped and painted because it's part of the property. So I went out and scraped and painted a chicken coop.
I mean, I've heard of some dumb requirements from FHA and VA appraisers, but this takes the cake, Rod. And by the way, listeners, this is one of the reasons that you need practicing realtors talking to our regulatory agencies who manage housing and urban development, manage FHA and VA, because until they hear from the field what we go through, they don't know how to get the regulations right. And I'm all about protecting the public, but for heaven's sakes, if we're going to have to scrape and paint a chicken coop, that's over the top.
Well, it's a rural property, and I don't know how your appraisers are, but some of the ones we have up here, I won't say anymore.
We're frenemies, I guess, from time to time, but
there you go. That's a good term.
Our joke is always kind of like you look at the government code inspectors like you look at your county code inspectors, and it's usually a bunch of frustrated former builders who are taking out their old frustrations on other people. But
there you go. Yep.
Bottle of Crown Royal solves a lot of that sometimes.
Yeah. My wife is on the North Dakota Real Estate Commission, and they have open hearings, obviously. So I've been to a couple of them, and you're talking about watching Home and Garden and Million Dollar Listing and all that. It's surprising the number of people that apply for their real estate license that they've got, they're bankrupt, or they've got 15 credit cards with $10,000 a piece on them, and they want to get into real estate and make some big money fast to pay these credit cards off, and they're delinquent on half of them. It's unbelievable. And so they get turned down until they get their finances in order, obviously. But people think this is a business where you just roll. Just the money just never stops coming in. Well, a lot of them do, I should say.
And I appreciate her for doing that hard work, because you find a lot of licensed professional realtors will fuss about the licensing bodies and wish they would do more to police the business. But the licensing bodies have their hands full just trying to keep the worst of the worst out or make people behave. Well, we may have to have you come back on and do a follow-up episode, because, of course, I'm still trying to process all the things that happened in that one house. But, Rod, if anybody's looking for help with, I guess, anything related to North Country real estate, they could call you, because you got family all over the place doing stuff. How can they reach you and your family real estate professionals?
So if you're ever coming this way, it's RE/MAX Grand Forks, North Dakota, 701-772-0061. Or you can call me at 701-739-1716, and we'll take care of your whatever you want. You want cat houses? We got them.
I don't know that people should call you looking for a cat house, but I guess they should be comfortable knowing that should y'all encounter one, you will know what to do. Okay, Okay, so listen, people, I know you want to hear more from Rod, and all of his contact information is going to be in the show notes for this episode. So look him up anytime, not just for Grand Forks, but I would imagine he's got contacts all over North Dakota if you need anything. And if you are somewhere in a market where Northrop Grumman is, you should probably pay attention because you may have some relocation one day and you'll have somebody to connect. So, Rod, thank you for coming on the show and for giving us the mental image that, frankly, I'm having trouble getting out of my head, and you actually lived it, so you must have nightmares. But we appreciate any real estate professional who keeps going no matter what comes across their path.
Well, some people need help, and that's what we are. Realtors are helping people. You know, that's the main thing. And like this lady, her husband died. Well, she's moving, and she just needed some help, so... you do it.
It's not always pretty, but we always make it happen. That's our job.
You bet.
All right, folks. You have all of Rod's contact information for him and his family, North Dakota and Minnesota. And if you have a real estate story you feel like can top the flooded cat house or the dead husband in the snow, that you've got a tough order to fill there, but I dare you to try. So hit me at Lee Brown on Twitter or any of the social networks to be featured in a future episode. And until then, subscribe for more, and we'll see you next time.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.